Good morning, it's Lee Davey. I'm not an alcoholic, I refuse to be anonymous. I am someone that doesn't drink alcohol, and I spend every waking moment of my life helping other people do the same, like this beautiful morning where I am heading off to do a spot of work, and I'm going to start the day by answering a question from Striver Claire. And Claire asks, do all the social media memes and posts and stuff like that about alcohol that we find on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, do they have an impact on us when we've made a decision, you know, when we decided that we don't want to drink alcohol anymore, right? So there's a number of things that go into this. The first thing that I want to stress is there's a big difference between stopping drinking alcohol and becoming someone that doesn't drink alcohol, in my opinion. And at Striving the Truth About Alcohol, we like to make that distinction quite clear. The difference is the vow, right? Anybody can stop drinking alcohol. It's really quite easy. And most of you listening to this podcast would have at some point in time put together an impressive string of days where you haven't drunk alcohol, right? If you're a woman, for example, and you've had a baby, almost all of you have had gone at least 9 months of not drinking or hardly drinking, touching the stuff. And I'm pretty sure you found that manageable. You wasn't craving too much by the end of it. So, you know, stopping drinking alcohol is one thing. But being someone who doesn't drink alcohol, that's completely different. That is like taking the vow, a greater vow, looking at the holistic picture here and focusing on your health and wellness primarily. And of course, why you drink alcohol, because that's super important. And raising awareness of that truth. But you need to also be focusing on your health and everything else around that and the bigger picture. And once you take that vow to be someone who doesn't drink alcohol, then you're never going to drink alcohol again, which will leave, if you work with us here, to having no cravings, which means it doesn't matter how many wine o'clock memes get plastered over Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, it's not going to affect you, because you would have changed your being. What essentially happens when we become people who don't drink alcohol, we become different people. We become different people because we create different personalities. We leave old personalities behind and we create new ones. And those new personalities, alcohol has no value for them. And because alcohol has no value, we could walk into a pub of 100 people every single day and we would never be triggered to drink. That is because we are people who don't drink alcohol. So the first thing I want to stress there is, yes, obviously those memes can be problematic if you've just stopped drinking alcohol, because you're still likely to be triggered, you're still going to be the same personality, you're still going to think that alcohol's value, so those things will have an effect. But if you, good morning badass dog, but if you do the work and take the vow to be someone who doesn't drink alcohol permanently, then it's going to lose its efficacy. The second thing I want to talk about, hello, my dog, is a part of the Truth About Alcohol Intensive. We work on the module awareness, where we're raising the awareness of the truth about alcohol. In 1 week, we cover institutionalism. And institutionalism is an idea that I robbed from Melanie Joy after reading Why We Don't Eat Dogs, Wear Cows, and I can never get the title right, but Melanie Joy's a great book. And the point of institutionalism is understanding where our great institutions in our life feature and underpin and cement these belief systems that we have. So Melanie Joy believes that eating meat in itself, which she calls carnism, is an invisible, violent, and dominant belief system. That's where I first got the term from, right? And one of the ways that carnism or meat eating is kept as an invisible belief system is, if you think about it, it's obviously violent because we consume or we kill billions of animals a week. Yes, a week. Billions of animals a week to eat them. Okay? And since 1970, humanity has wiped out 60% of all wildlife. Hugely, partly due because we eat them. And the way that we eat them and kill them is very, very violent. If anybody's watched Earthlings, for example, it's a harrowing horror movie of cruelty to animals. So how do we, in the face of this cruelty and this violence, manage to deal with the cognitive dissonance of stroking our dog? And like, we just passed two dogs, didn't we, barking? They're being taken care of by somebody who would never dream of eating them, yet you would eat a cow or a pig or a dog. Isn't a lamb cute and cuddly? Isn't a little piglet cute and cuddly? Isn't a little calf cute and cuddly? But we still eat them. So how are we able to do that? Well, part of the way that we're able to do that is through something that Melanie Joy calls absurdity. So I'll give you an example. There's a restaurant I like to go to in Cardiff called Oaxaca. It's a Mexican franchise restaurant. And sometimes when you go to Oaxaca, they have a sign at the front of the door which is advertising their tacos, and it's a pig that's smiling with an apple in its mouth on a chopping board, smiling. At my brother-in-law's house, they have a chopping board with a tea towel over the top of it, and on the tea towel is a load of pigs smiling and jumping over a chopping board in delight. Now, if you think of the fact, or you watch a pig being killed in a slaughterhouse, and I've been lucky enough to wear virtual reality goggles and actually become a piglet in a slaughterhouse. I say fortunate enough, I was crying and I took my glasses off and I couldn't finish watching it. When you see how they die, when you see how their balls are cut without anesthetic, their tails are ripped out without anesthetic, if you see the way that their mothers are treated, pinned down under metal bars while babies feed off them, and they're not allowed to move, and then the babies are ripped away from them, which if you're a mother, you'll know the horror of just thinking about it. If you put all that together, and then you see this post of this pig smiling and being happy that he has an apple in his mouth and he's just about to get chopped to pieces, then you will realize that that is absurd. It's absurd. But it's that absurdity that keeps you hooked into the invisible, violent, and dominant belief system known as carnism, because it softens the blow. It removes the pain and the violence and replaces it with black, dark humor, right? And you don't even see it as black, dark humor. You just see it as humor. And what does that have to do with alcohol? All these memes that you see is a very, very, very clever marketing ploy by the people that have created them, leaning on this notion, this tool, marketing tool of absurdity. Right? We know that alcoholism is an invisible, violent, dominant belief system. We know that it's violent because it kills more than 3.3 million people a year and it's a causal factor in over 200 illnesses and diseases. We know that, right? But we're able to keep drinking and remain a part of that belief system, because part of the belief system is this absurd nature of alcohol. So if you look at marketing and branding of alcohol, invariably the one thing that they do is they tap into our vulnerabilities. They tap into our vulnerabilities, and invariably that is the fear of being alone. So a lot of alcohol ads is based around our social structure, about having a great social life, about being around beautiful people. It's about status. They're trying to plug into us and tell us that if we don't drink alcohol, our status will drop. I just read an article this morning from the Russo brothers, the guys who did Avengers Infinity War. They said they would struggle to bring Superman do Superman the movie, because in order for them to do their work, and script writing and filmmaking is just pure marketing, they would need to find a vulnerability in each character. If anyone saw Avengers Infinity War, for example, Thor, my dogs. Can I just say as a side that I might want to eat dog, actually. I'm vegan, but I might want to eat dog. I'm not the greatest dog fan in the world. I'm not going to eat a dog, that's only a joke. But I'm not the greatest dog fan in the world for that reason. If you watch those movies, then Thor, who's like this dude with a big hammer you can't kill, the Hulk, who's this big dude you can't kill, and Thanos himself, who's this super, super big dude that nobody can kill, all three of them, the writers showed us their vulnerability, didn't they? Thor with the death of his brother, the Hulk with his inability to beat Thanos, and Thanos with the death of his daughter, okay? So, and a love for his daughter. So they tap into those vulnerabilities, and that's what marketers do. They tap into this vulnerability that says, hey ho, if you don't drink this stuff, then you are going to be alone. You're going to be an outsider. And the meme industry taps into that same framework by making a mockery and a joke and leaning on the absurd notion that we have these things, photographs and artwork and beer mats and calendars, especially around this time of the year, because Christmas is just full of just useless trinkets that people buy to fill in people's stockings, and these wine o'clock memes and all that kind of stuff, load of nonsense. But if you talk to somebody and you say to them that you're giving up drinking alcohol, one of the first things that they do is kind of laugh, kind of make it turn into a little joke, don't they? Because that makes it, the conversation, less comfortable, more comfortable for them. Because once you say you're stopping drinking alcohol, it opens a gateway for cognitive dissonance to appear inside the mind of the person you're speaking to, right? So they don't want that to happen. Well, these memes, these little jokes, these absurd little slogans and statements and quotes, that's what they are. They are cognitive dissonance softeners, the pillows for cognitive dissonance. They allow us instead to look at the seriousness of alcohol, and instead of that, to look at the light-hearted, so-called dark humor of it. So if our house is full of references to wine and alcohol being a good thing, and I used to live in one, then that is just going to continually reinforce to you that alcohol is just a joke, it's just a laugh, it's just a fun thing that we do. How can you bring the sinister side of it into your life if the meme side of it is so big? One final thing that I would like to talk about is your social media profiles, and I would also count Google in this, are getting better and better and more intelligent and more intelligent as artificial intelligence improves, and they are on point when it comes to understanding what we are interested in. I've even had phone conversations with people, and then instantly something about that phone conversation has ended up on one of my news feeds, celebrating it or making it positive. And as you know, all I ever do is talk about alcohol, but not in a good light. And I, funnily enough, I never get any alcohol ads or anything like that to me. So whatever you're interested in, your social media feed is going to give you, and that includes the friends that you're interested in. So if you hang around with a bunch of people who post memes and all these wonderful things about alcohol, then to me, I know this is very difficult to wrap your head around, but it's akin to wanting to start taking heroin, but hanging around with your buddies in the dark little secret corner when they shoot up. you still want to be part of that plan. And this goes back to the difference between stopping drinking alcohol, which is just an act, to becoming someone who doesn't drink alcohol, which is a transformational process. The two different things. So when we are becoming a different person, when we're creating a new personality, and part of that new personality is a new set of core values, and one of those core values will be to be healthy and well and to give back and to do good service in the world, then alcohol doesn't fit into that equation. Hanging around with people who have those qualities becomes an energy transference. We just start being attracted to those people, and then people are attracted to us. And then we lose contact, or we spend less time, or we wipe them out altogether, the people in our lives who don't share our core values. Because that's what friendships and connections are about. I think personally that's where our connection comes from. It comes from either one or two or three or four core values that we're connected with. So I hope that helps, Claire. If you do want to become someone that doesn't drink alcohol, so these memes don't get on your get into your brain, then the January Taster starts on January the 1st. 27 coaching videos, group peer learning. I am in there doing the moderating. So you get all my 9 years of experience of not drinking. So that's the January 1st. Quicker you sign up for that, the cheaper it will be. And if you want to just jump straight into the intensive, and you know that you want to be somebody that doesn't drink alcohol, why not work with us for a year? And you can sign up at the Truth About Alcohol for our intensive, or email me asking me for more information at thetruthaboutalcohol@gmail.com, and we'll get you on board, okay? I hope that was useful, Claire. Just leave Davey. I'm not an alcoholic. I refuse to be anonymous. I'm someone that doesn't drink alcohol or pay any attention to stupid, fucked up memes about wine o'clock. And I bid you good day. Sorry to interrupt your podcast experience, but it's an important one. If you are enjoying the Alcohol Addiction Podcast, if you're getting value out of it, if it's helping you to slowly become someone who doesn't drink alcohol, and you want to learn more about the philosophy and the work that we do at Strive, then you're in luck. On Friday the 21st of December at 1900, which is 7 p.m. Pacific time, which is Los Angeles time, I will be doing a little workshop describing the philosophy and the framework of the January Taster, okay? And I will be repeating that workshop on Friday the 28th of December at 11 o'clock Pacific time, which is 7 p.m. UK time, and then finally 7 p.m. Pacific time, okay? So if you want to join me in those workshops and learn more about the philosophy and the framework of the January Taster, then head to www.thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk. There will be a really annoying pop-up there that you can enter your details, and then I will see you at one of those workshops. Or alternatively, you can email me at thetruthaboutalcohol@gmail.com. Let me know that you want more information. Tell me which webinar you want to sign up to, and I'll make sure that you get all the login details. Thanks very much for listening and being an active listener to the Alcohol Addiction Podcast. I really appreciate your time.